Christ died for your sins, rose again on the third day, and if you repent and trust in him, God will forgive your sins. At the moment, you're like a man on the edge of a plane, 10,000 feet up, and he's going to flap his arms to save himself. It's not going to work. He needs to trust the parachute. And at the moment, you say, I'm a good person. I'll be fine on judgment day. No, you won't. You're not good. You're like the rest of us. Trust in Jesus Christ alone. Transfer your trust from yourself to the Savior.
Salt
is a preservative. It preserves things from spoil and decay. And light dispels darkness. And Jesus says that we are that city set on a hill. We are the light of the world. And God commands us to uphold justice, to be light in darkness, and to preserve the culture round about us from spoil and decay. It's actually a command of God that Christians not only preach the good news of salvation and redemption, but that Christians are the ones that stand as the salt and the light and the force to preserve justice in the world.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition into the startup episode of Solomon's Porch. It's been a long time since we have done episodes, but we are just so excited to be able to start this back up again and be able to bring you more content and to bring you more episodes. And I am so excited to be able to do this. I took a break for a short while there because there was a vacancy in the church that I am currently serving in, and I had to step up and to fill in for the pulpit and fill in for visits and all kinds of different things. And so it took up a lot of my time, and so I had to step away from Solomon's Porch for a short while there. But we are back. We really want to revamp it and really get it off the road or off the ground again, and to get it going into the summer and everything. So please be on the lookout for more episodes, and hoping to have more discussions, possibly even have some debates this coming summer, because as you all know, if you look at look in the Bible in the New Testament with Solomon's Porch, that's what happened. They had a lot of intellectual, theological discussions and also even debates. It's where Jesus would teach with his disciples and different people. And so that's really what I would like to do with Solomon's Porch. So just please be on the lookout for the newest episodes. Please make sure to like and subscribe on the channel. Please make sure to share it on Facebook, social media, with your friends and family. Would really love some encouragement there, and even some challenges. If you have a different opinion or anything like that, I would love to hear it, love to discuss things with you. And yeah, I hope that you are blessed by this episode today. Got a big discussion here, a big topic today. And let's just kick things right off here. We're going with the newest news that Arizona, with the Arizona's newest abortion law that was just passed in this May. So actually just a few weeks ago. So why is this important? Why is this something that I wanted to discuss and talk about here on this podcast? Well, to be perfectly honest, it's because, one, abortion is something that really affects me personally, and it really affects every individual on the face of the planet. This is the genocidal murder of human beings. That's what abortion essentially is. It's murdering and ending the lives of human beings within the womb. And so this really affects us, especially as Christians. Our neighbors, our unborn neighbors, are being slaughtered by the thousands every single day. And so this is something that is important. It's something that we should keep our eyes on and understand what's going on in the different states, what's going on at the national level, and even what's happening globally. How is this topic being affected, or how is this topic affecting everybody on a global scale? So if you're thinking, well, abortion doesn't really pertain to me, well, it really does, especially if you are a Christian. That's just the reality of abortion. That's just the reality of the Christian life, is that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Well, our neighbor right now is being slaughtered within the womb. And However, I will say this, however, and I know that I may upset some of my abolitionist friends, and even some more of the abortion ministry Christian friends that I have, but I will say, I really do think that things are moving. There are steps that are being taken into the right direction, and I'll get into that here shortly. But with that being said, even though there is some form of encouragement in the realm of the abortion tragedy that's taking place within our nation, there's still way more work that needs to be done. There is still a lot that is happening, a lot that still needs to be done. And so we celebrate the victories that we have, but until abortion is completely abolished in the United States and even globally, it's not an ultimate victory. That's what we have to understand, is that first, abortion needs to be abolished, meaning that abortion needs to be considered as it should be, which is murder. Murder is illegal within the United States and essentially within the global world. It's murder. You cannot murder another human being without cause. You cannot kill another human being without there being some sort of self-defense or anything like that. It is legal to do so. And so we need to do that same thing with abortion. Regardless of situation, regardless of whatever the circumstance may be, abortion should never happen. The murder of an unborn child should never be considered, ever. And if you want to understand my reasons with that, please go and see past episodes from my abortion talks and everything. That should give you a good indication of my stance on that and why we should not stand for abortion in any circumstance, period. But so with that being said, why do I want to talk about Arizona? Well, because another thing about Arizona is that it's near and dear to my heart and also my wife's heart. It's where I met my wife. It's where we got married. It's where we lived for a short while. It's where we really came to understanding and belief in Calvinist theology, in really biblical theology. It's where we really got that foundation built, is in Arizona, attending Apologia Church. And if you're living in the Arizona area and you need a good, wholesome biblical church, I know there are other churches, but Apologia Church is a very, very strong church. I highly recommend that church. Great place to go and hear expository preaching and challenges and just a loving congregation. Please go and check them out. But that's where I got my start, basically, in Reformed theology and really with evangelism as well. We were a part of their evangelism ministry for a short while we were living in Arizona. And I really saw the need for good, wholesome, biblical evangelism. And so it's near and dear to my heart. And I always kept an eye on Arizona, how it was progressing and what was going on there. Because actually, there's a lot of rich history with Arizona and also even with their abortion laws. And that's where the fight really came, because abortion, pro-abortion individuals within Arizona wanted to overturn some of the laws that were in effect in Arizona. What laws were in effect? Well, in 1864, Arizona lawmakers passed a law that bans all abortions, makes them completely illegal. So since 1864, abortion was illegal in the state of Arizona. Think about this for a moment. every abortion that has been done since 1864 has been illegal. And there are churches and pro-life organizations that have reported these instances to the police and to the governing authorities in Arizona. And how many of those reports actually had some sort of action to them? Zero. So when law-abiding citizens were reporting that an immoral law and a legitimate breaking of the law was occurring, lawmakers, police officers, investigators, none of them brought forth justice. They ignored it because they didn't know it. They didn't understand what it was. And this is why it is so important, brothers and sisters and listeners, it's important for us to understand the law. It's important for us to understand our rights. It's important for us to understand the law and our local law, not just the federal law, but the state level laws, because that's ultimately where the power lies, is within the states. So even though something may be illegal federally, the states do have the ability and the power to either say, no, we're not going to abide by that, we're actually going to do it this way. Or they can agree with it and go, we agree with it, but we also want to add these stipulations or do it this way. The state has all the power. That's how America has been founded, right? And so that's where it's important for us to understand how it is that the law works. Because the Supreme Court does not make law. The Supreme Court interprets law. The police do not make law. They enforce the law. Attorneys do not make law. They interpret the law and they uphold the law and serve justice within the court system. But see, we as a country have got everything backwards, and we put the power in the wrong hands. We have fundamentally given up this power and given up our rights as citizens because out of either fear or lack of understanding. And I think the lack of understanding and the lack of knowledge is really the driving factor for these things that have taken place. And it's not because we're dumb, right? We're very, very smart. But I think it's what's really been taking place is that we've gotten so comfortable with the way things are that we just go, well, yeah, that's not really important, so I just trust that they're doing the right thing. Or, you know what, I got more important things to worry about. Well, this is why a lot of injustices have happened, and I'm not speaking about social justice. I'm not speaking about, you know, Black Lives Matter or an organization like that by any means. I am simply just saying that injustices do happen. There are injustices that do take place within the United States and happen globally. So it is possible for us to have injustice be done to us strictly because we just don't understand the law. So this is why it's important for you to brush up on your knowledge of the law. Not saying you got to become a lawyer or anything like that, but just understand the basics. Understand what your rights are as a U.S. citizen. Understand what your rights are as a state citizen, whatever state that you're in, because it could help you in your dealings with the police. It could help you in your dealings with your evangelism. It could help you in your efforts, just period, whatever the case may be. Understand your rights so then no one can take them away from you. That's ultimately what we should be doing as citizens of the United States. And so with that lack of understanding, the state of Arizona has allowed abortion to take place. With that lack of understanding, with that lack of knowledge of the law, the state of Arizona has been, it's comical to me, but it's also really sad at the same time. The state of Arizona has been breaking the law for probably at least 100 years, give or take. And especially, really, for the last over, what would we say, 50 years. However long that people have been doing abortions within the state of Arizona, and the police have not been enforcing it, attorneys haven't been enforcing it, judges, governors, congressmen, congresswomen, whatever, whoever is in charge of upholding the law, they have been breaking the law. It was always against the law to get an abortion in the state of Arizona. That's plain and simple. And how do we know that? Because now the pro-choice movement and the pro-abortion organizations challenged the Arizona Supreme Court and said, we want to get this law overturned. Well, if it's not such a big deal and it's not something that and it's not something that's important, or it's an old law, why are you going out of your way to enforce it? Or not enforce it, but to change it? It's because they knew that there was movement that was being had and being made towards upholding that law. There was the possibility of a lawsuit taking place. There was a possibility of their movement to realize, oh no, we're in the wrong here. So what did they do? In 2023, the Arizona Supreme Court case began that would determine whether this law stayed in effect or was done away with. So in 2023, 1864 to 2023, nearly 160 years later. 160 years later, now this law is getting overturned, or at least to the Supreme Court level in the state of Arizona. And so what happens with that? So what exactly were they saying? Well, they were basically saying that we don't want it to be illegal to get an abortion. Well, why? Because we don't want to be criminals, right? We want to continue in the rhetoric. We want to continue in the efforts to say that women who get abortions are victims. Because with this law, it shows that they're criminals. So not only is it a moral issue, it was a criminal issue. It was a law issue. They were breaking the law. And so now what? Well, now what do you got? Well, if that is the case, you got to get rid of the law, right? You got to make sure that the rhetoric stays the same, that the story of victimhood is still intact. So there can't be any stone unturned. We got to make sure that this is overturned, so that we and the women that get abortions and the ones that celebrate it or fight for it are not considered criminals. And why this sudden urge? Because of faithful churches like Apologia Church and others. I know they're out there, so if I didn't name it, my apologies. But churches like Apologia Church would go out and do their abortion evangelism ministry, and they would be the ones that would be reporting these abortion clinics. And at first, people just laughed it off, hysterical. You can go onto their YouTube channel or go onto their website or whatever and find these videos. And when Apologia Church would say that this is the law, they had the law, they had the statute, they had all the things necessary to reveal that this was against the law to do. they would call the police station and they would want to report it, but then the reporter or the dispatcher, whoever was on the phone, would just send them to an automated message and say that this is an ongoing investigation, and we're working on it. That's what happened. And then what took place? Give or take 2 years later, now there's a court case in the Supreme Court to overturn this law. You can't make this stuff up. You cannot hide from the reality of what is going on in this realm, in the realm of abortion. You cannot make this stuff up. It is illegal. Our states all believed that this was a horrible thing to do. But now, because the culture has shifted or whatever, they try to overturn these laws because they're at risk, because their movement, their beliefs, all of it is at risk. And so they had to take it to the Supreme Court. They had to basically sue the Arizona government to overturn this law. And then in April 2024, Arizona for Abortion Access, which is a pro-abortion movement, announced that over 500,000 people signed a petition to overrule this law. And Christians, churches, everybody came out to the state capitol, and they were praying, they were protesting, they were calling to action to the leaders of Arizona to not overturn this law, but to actually enforce it. And there, like I said, over 500,000 signatures on this petition to overrule this law. Over 500,000 people that want to say, yes, we should have the right to murder our children in the womb. It's absolutely disgusting. It's just crazy that over 500,000 people would say that. It's just crazy. Who in their right mind would want to say something like that? But we'll get to that in a second. But then May 2nd, 2024, the bill to repeal this law was passed. The repeal cannot go into effect until 90 days after the legislative session adjourns. So, with that being said, in simple terms, May 2nd, the law was overturned, but now it can't really go into effect until 90 days. So for 90 days, the law is still intact. So the efforts are now going towards revealing that this is still breaking the law, that there is still this law that is in effect. And hopefully people will start to wake up to see that the reason why these lawmakers back in 1864 had these laws put into place was because they valued human life. They valued people. They valued children. Regardless of how big they were, regardless of where they were at in a developmental stage, whatever the case may be, they valued human life. This really ultimately is I truly believe, a sign of God's judgment upon the state of Arizona because of all the things that they have been doing, because of all the horrific things that they have passed, that they have been doing in the state of Arizona. I think it's everywhere. I mean, all across the United States, you see what's going on. But again, there's that slight hope. There is that remnant that one small group of Christians that shows that yeah, God's judgment may be upon certain states and the nation as a whole, but it's not, God has not completely turned his back on the nation. Because you have states that have abolished abortion. Not completely, however. There are still some exceptions to the abortion topic. And I don't know the specifics with all these states, but even with those exceptions, according to different sources and everything, it's very limited. The exceptions are very limited. So my guess is that the exceptions would be in terms of rape, or in terms of like the life of the mother, maybe. Again, I don't know. Maybe some of you who live in these states can know and help me to understand it. But there's a lot of states. I didn't realize that there was this many states that actually had this. So this is what gave me some hope. Even though, again, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, abortion should not take place. But here are the states that have those bans on abortion. South Dakota, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, Indiana, North Dakota, Idaho, Oklahoma, Missouri. All these states have complete bans on abortion. And some actually have more restrictions than others. Some have extra things that have to be done before an abortion can actually take place. I mean, there's like a whole list of things that has to be done before an abortion can take place. Now, again, abortion still takes place in these states, I'm sure, but it's rare, right? But we still have work to do. Until it is illegal, period, to murder a child in the womb, to get an abortion, until it is illegal for that to take place, there's still work to be done. So even if all 50 states abolished abortion with limited exceptions, that still means that it still happens. We need to abolish it completely. We need to use modern medicine as it needs to be, to save the life of the mother, to save the life of the child. Yes, we live in a fallen world. Yes, it happens, but let God be the determining factor of that. A lot of the times when it comes to our healthcare, when it comes to our decision making, our planning, our everyday lives, a lot of the times we tend to act as atheists. I want you to think about that for a moment, because we say things like, I'm planning to do this, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to make this happen, or it's all about me, 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 and there's not even one word of God. And then once you challenge, oh, well, God's there. You know, I believe in God and, you know, everything. Yeah, but you're not acting on that. You know, And I'm not saying to never take medicine or that medicine, all medicine is bad. There are great things that the medical world has done for us in the expanses of modern medicine and everything like that. But I'm saying that if the only way of healthcare and the only way of the best care is to murder your child so that you can save your life, That's not healthcare. Okay? That's not healthcare. And we as the church need to come alongside these mothers and these fathers and these doctors to help them through these things, because it's not easy to have a child. It's not easy to raise children. It's not. There's a lot that goes into it. But as the Bible tells us, it's a beautiful thing. All babies are a blessing from the Lord. So we need to treat them as such. But what's going on in Arizona? What's going on in these other states that are allowing abortions to take place? And what is going on just everywhere around the nation? Well, I want to read for you from Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. So this is really saying that everybody knows that there is a God. Every single person, regardless of who they are, knows that there is a God. Because God is shown throughout all of creation. There is not one person that can say that that they ultimately do not know that there is a God. People can act like it, but what they are doing, according to Romans 1, 18, they are suppressing the truth. They are pressing it down, trying to convince themselves that they do not believe in God. Because here's the thing. We all want the benefits of God, more specifically heaven, peace, joy, love. We want all those things. But what comes with being in a relationship with God? Moral accountability. And we don't want it. We don't want moral accountability. We as human beings just want the good stuff. We want the fluffy stuff. We want the things that make us feel good. But everything else that tells us that we have to make changes, that we have to follow this, that there's a standard of living. No, I want nothing to do with that. I just want the love. Leave me alone. Just give me love. Well, that's not the way that God works. We just walk outside and we can see God. We can't see his physical face, but we can see his hand in creation. So for instance, the building that you are in right now, or the car, or whatever, let's just say that you're in a building. Okay, you're in a building right now. Look around you. Have you ever met the builder of the building that you are in? Chances are, probably not. But how do you know that the builder exists? Because you see the fruit of his creation, right? You see his hand in that creation. It's the same thing with God. That's what Paul is saying here in the book of Romans, is that we may have not seen God physically. We haven't seen his face, but we see his hand in creation. We see his handiwork of creation. So we see that the fruit of his creation is all around us. And it's scientifically impossible for us to make something out of nothing. There needs to be a creator. There needs to be a painter to the painting. So therefore, we know that there is a God. But we suppress that truth. You know, it's just like this law. You know, they knew that it was breaking the law, but they didn't want to actually believe that it was a moral law. They just, it's just an old law. That was an old way of doing things, and now it's this. They don't want to get around to the morality of abortion because they know what it is. You can talk to a lot of pro-abortionists and a lot of pro-choicers, and they will say, yes, we know that it's a baby. We know that it's murdering a baby. We're past the, it's just a clump of cells or whatever. There are still some that want to try to use that argument. But as a whole, we're now past that and saying, oh yeah, no, we know that it's killing a baby. but we just don't want it. We want the right to be able to do that with my body. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. This is telling us, showing us that people that are living this way, the unrighteous, they worship the creation rather than the creator. This is really those individuals who will say, yeah, well, you should be able to get an abortion. It's your right. It's your body. It's your choice, whatever. But then when it comes to animals, they go, no, we can't hurt the animals. We can't hurt them. No, that's immoral. You can't do that. Those are just little puppies. But when it comes to babies in the womb, well, who cares? They're just clumps of cells. Or we should be able to do whatever we want to do with our body. That's the psychosis of what's going on here. That's the just nonsense of what is happening here in Arizona and all these other states that are allowing abortion to take place. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. It's right there, plain and simple. This is what's going on in Arizona, the pro-choice movement, all across the spectrum of those who are saying that we should be able to murder babies in the womb. They are the ones who are in this depraved state. They are the ones that are filled with all manner of unrighteousness. And that is why they can't give a moral account or a moral excuse for anything. And ultimately, when they start making claims like, you should let us have our own choice, or you should show us more love and compassion. Well, on what standard do you have to say that we should love and show compassion? If you are an atheist, if you do not love God, if you are not a Christian or anything like that, what standard do you have? What basis do you have? Because we have a standard. It's God's law. It's God's moral law. We have that standard to stand on. But what do atheists have? What do the pro-choicers have? They don't. And any Christian who is a pro-choicer, I just want to encourage you to repent of that. To turn away from that, because that goes against everything that Jesus ever stood for. It's everything that God stands for. You shall not murder. That's murder. Abortion is murder, plain and simple. So brothers and sisters, listeners, what can we do? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to pray. We need to pray for Arizona. We need to pray for its lawmakers. We need to pray for the individuals that are out on the front lines in Arizona to fight this battle. We need to encourage them. We need to help those churches and those individuals however we can, whether it be through taking trips to go out and serve with them, or whether it be to write letters of encouragement, to give money, whatever it is that God has gifted you with to be able to help with, that's what we need to do. But ultimately, like I said before, we need to know God's law, and we need to know the law. Not just God's law, but we need to know our law. We need to know what our law says about different things, because who knows? Our state may be breaking or may be keeping man's law, but then completely breaking God's law at the same time. This is why it's important for us to always keep up to date with our lawmakers and our current justice system. So that is my encouragement. That is my challenge for us today, is that let us not just bury our faces in the sand and go, well, this doesn't affect me, so I'm just not going to worry about it. It does affect us. It does affect us. Go and tell someone about the beautiful love, grace, and mercy of Jesus, and to tell them that you're not going to find that everlasting peace in murdering your child. You're going to find despair. You're going to find heartache. And more importantly, you're going to find regret if you murder your child. Murdering your child is never the option. It's never the right decision. This is a fallen world, but God is good. God is in control. God knows what he's doing. Let's trust in God. Let's let God be God, and let's believe in him and trust in him in everything that we do. Pray for Arizona. Stand up for the unborn, because they cannot stand up for themselves. Who's going to fight for them? God has called us to this mission. So let's stand up and let's fight for the unborn. We're going to take this time for this segment to talk about, I'm going to review different movies. I know that that I've done this in the past, and it was good to do so. I had parents that really appreciated it. You can also do this on Unplugged and everything too. I highly recommend them. It's an organization that my wife and I go to whenever we want to screen a movie before we let our kids watch it. Because I do enjoy going to the movies and having that experience with my kids and with my wife. You know, we're seeing the movie for the first time, so we want to make sure that we do that. But we also want to make sure that we understand what we're getting ourselves into before we go and watch it. So Unplugged, check it out. It'll let you know everything you need to know about the movie. But for me, I love watching movies, and I love doing reviews on movies, so I'm going to review a semi-newer movie. I think it's probably maybe close to a year old, I think. Maybe not so much. But it's called Migration. It's a new movie by Illumination Studios. It's an animated film where this duck family is now making the journey to migrate to Jamaica, and it's just a beautiful film. It's so much fun, so I want to give that review today. So I first went and saw it with my 5-year-old daughter, and it was really one of the first times that we went and saw a movie that didn't have minions in it, or have you know, some form of like bright colors or something like that. I mean, it does have bright colors. It's animation, but this was really the first film that that we watched together that didn't really have those overall themes that like the Despicable Me movies had. And and we had so much fun with it. Migration is just such a fun film. It has a great story. It has a few dirty jokes in it, or, you know, kind of vulgar things. It is rated PG for those efforts. There is duck hunting that is in there. There is a cook that is trying to hunt the ducks and get the ducks for his restaurant and everything. The big thing that he likes to serve is duck. And so, you know, they're trying to get away from the cook and everything, and they're trying to get to Jamaica. And they meet a lot of new friends on the way, and it's such a heartfelt movie, and it's really positive. I would recommend that you take your family to go and see this film. It's really fun, it's really heartfelt, and I think it's very safe to take your kids and to go see. I even had some parts where I laughed out loud, and I actually laughed for a good 2 or 3 minutes. It was just that funny. And so everybody will have fun with this, not just the kids, but your spouse will have fun. Your kids will have fun. It's just a great time. So if you're on the lookout to go see Migration, I highly recommend it. Migration, I think it's streaming on Prime right now. I believe it's on Peacock even. So wherever you can find it, go and watch it. It's a great film, and I highly recommend it. So I want to thank all my listeners today for tuning into the episode today, and thank you for taking the time to listen and to be challenged by today. Again, if you have any questions or concerns or anything, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm on social media. You can find me, message me, and like I said, we're going to be pushing some more content, so we'd love to see you. Like and subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you on the next one. Thank you so much for listening to Solomon's Porch. We'll catch you at the next one.